Who wants to learn the word of God this morning and grow and thrive in God's kingdom and be blessed and walk in victory and power because you're anointed and you're called and you're chosen and God's got his eye on you, not to condemn, but to bless and to fill and to correct. Yep. Amen. Do you agree with that? All right. That's good stuff. That's good preaching. Amen. Thanks, Pastor. All right. We're still talking about wisdom, and we've covered so far just kind of the conditions. How many of you know that every time you throw a seed out, it doesn't always grow, does it? Right? We're not going to go back talking about sowing and reaping again, but the conditions need to be correct. Correct? The conditions need to be right. So we're looking at the conditions of Solomon's heart and life and what God was saying to him and what his dad was teaching him. What's the conditions of his heart? And so how can our hearts and lives get into alignment with that? Because a lot of this stuff transfers. And we've got a better covenant now. We've got greater access. But still, the Old Testament's the word of God. We want to see he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the things that worked there, heart-wise, are still the same great thing. So here's what we've went through so far is if we want to walk into wisdom, if we want to be invited into wisdom, if we want to sustain this walk in wisdom, we talked about Solomon knew that he was chosen, and we covered that. You guys are chosen. God knows your name. He's got you in his eye, right? Wholehearted, the two things that David prayed or challenged Solomon with was being wholehearted devotion to God and then being having a willing mind. We talked about that last time. I gave you my example of having a willing mind. You know, sometimes a willing mind is a good idea until you actually have to do it. Right? Isn't that true with a lot of the scripture? That's a great idea. I agree with that. Oh, you mean I have to do that? Wait a minute. This doesn't feel as good when I have to do it. A willing mind means that we come up against our, well, I know I'm right. I know I don't want to think like that or whatever. And yielding and being willing to listen. Because you can't grow if you don't listen. You can't grow if you're not willing to grow. No one's ever going to become a spiritual giant by force, right? You're not going to wake up one day and be like, man, I am such a man and woman of faith. Like, I wonder how that happened. It's a choice, right? It's a choice to pursue God. It's a choice to grow. It's a choice to walk in that. And then what we covered last week was humility. Humility is this entry point into wisdom. So really, all of this is in the context of wisdom. You could talk about all of these things outside of that context, but we're talking about specific things that we've seen in Solomon's life that would qualify him to have the right conditions that the seeds of wisdom would take root in his heart. And what we talked about last time was humility. And man, if that's ever a message that we need to hear in America, we've got to walk in boldness, but boldness does not mean pride, right? And sometimes we think of, well, humility and boldness can't go together. They can. It's the character and attitude and the feel of our hearts. I was thinking, I was walking out last night out by the monster Jim and Kathy garden that goes on for miles and miles, it seems like. And I was thinking about all that I was walking in and alfalfa right beside me or whatever, and thinking about gardening, and I was thinking about humility. And I was thinking, you know, some people get confused by my language because I always say the low road, but we have a saying in America, you need to take the high road. That means the same thing as what I'm saying. So when I'm saying the low road, I'm meaning doing the thing that is good character. And I'm talking about lowness being humility. And normally we talk about, well, they said that against you, you know, aren't you going to retaliate? No, I'm going to take the high road. So we're using opposite terms to really say this, so I don't mean to be confusing, but when we go low, I was thinking about when you go low, and in the context of wisdom, when you go low, eventually you end up on the ground. And when you keep going low, you know what happens down there? That's where all the good stuff is. That's where all the nutrition is. That's where all the roots go. That's where all the nutrients are. That's where the growth happens. Up high is where it's seen, but up high is not where you get the nutrients from. down low, that's where the richness is. And humility of heart, guys, listen to this, is truth. Humility of heart, humility of character, walking in humility, going low, you start to find richness there. And you'll eventually see fruit up high. You'll eventually see the expression of that. But we've got to go low to see that. So we're switching a corner today. We're still talking about this. We're still talking about Solomon. We're still talking about wisdom. We're going to get into Proverbs, well, actually today. But we're going to turn the corner just a little bit. We're still talking about conditions of the heart, but now we're switching to what did Solomon say? Actually, only just for a little part of it. But how, right now, so Solomon prayed to God. We saw that meeting at Gibeon. You know, the Lord asked him what he would want, and he said, I want a discerning heart from him. I'm only a child, which wasn't really true, but he was just being humble, saying, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you. It's recognizing that I need you. So the fifth thing that we're going to look at is really what Solomon's going to tell us. It's fear of the Lord. And if you want to walk in wisdom, do we all agree that we need some wisdom? Okay. Or do you have enough? I mean, are you good? Sometimes I think that is a trap. And we can read about that in Proverbs. It's a pretty common trap, is we think we don't need wisdom. So maybe the first thing we need to clear up is, trust me, you do. We don't have enough. We need more wisdom. We need the voice of God. We need the insight of God. We need the wisdom of God to how to navigate this life in all the areas of our life. And so if we want to walk in wisdom, Solomon is going to tell us to walk in the fear of the Lord. And really, you're going to see this is, I didn't call it that, but it's really humility part two. And so walking in the fear of the Lord. So we're going to, every time I apologize for what I'm about to apologize, someone yells at me. So that's okay. So I have a lot of scriptures today, and so I apologize for that. And everyone's like, don't be apologizing for reading too many scriptures. I'm like, well, yeah, but anybody can sit up here and read scriptures all day. I'm like, it should be a sermon. Like, so I get it, but there's a lot of scriptures today. So we're learning by brute force today, right? We're just going to, because, and there's a purpose, because I want you to see how many different voices in the scriptures are saying the same thing. That's what I want you to see. And I just hope as we read these that they just settle into your heart, because I want to be wise. I want to walk in wisdom. I don't want to be the opposite, which is a fool, a mocker, or a simpleton. And we're going to talk about those someday. You know, like the options for those three people, it's not good news. I want to be in this camp. I want to be in the camp of the wise, because flourishing happens when you walk in wisdom. Good things happen. It's oil to the gears of your life. Wisdom is, if you guys ever done something and you went through a project, you went through a situation, you went through a conflict, you went through something, and on the backside of it, you look back and you're like, boy, if I would have just done this or this, that whole thing would have changed dramatically, and I could have saved myself a lot of heartache and headache. Anyone ever had unnecessary heartache or headache? Two of you. Thank you guys for being honest. The rest of you, the sermon's going to switch to being on lying. Or getting out of your house. I don't know how you haven't had those kind of experiences where you've regretted and said, I wish I would have done this or this differently, because that's just called being human. And what wisdom does, here's what wisdom does. Wisdom takes the backside view and moves it to the front. Did you catch that? The insight that you gained after you did something you probably shouldn't have done, or done it poorly, or not as well as you could have, or in a way that caused more harm than it needed to, that view, wisdom is able to capture that view and bring it to the front side. Just let that soak in. That's what wisdom is doing. It's taking what I would have learned, motives, attitudes, outcomes. It's taking what I would have seen, 2020, hindsight, and it's taking that view and moving it to the front side so I can operate in that on this side of the thing. That's what wisdom is. Do you think your life would go better if you had that kind of view, right? I don't think there's a one of us, even if you're just, you showed up here today because someone made you and you're not interested in this at all. There's got to at least be a casual interest in your mind. If you're like, I think that would be good. That would, you know what? Even if you're checked out, you'd be like, that would be a good thing. If I could have that view on the front side of life. And so we're going to see what Solomon starts off saying and then some more verses. So he says in Proverbs, Solomon wrote most of Proverbs. So in chapter 1, very first chapter, only 7 verses in, we see this. He says, the fear of the Lord is the what? Say it with me. Beginning. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And now we're this far in, and he hasn't really defined it yet. We don't really know what it is, but it should check something if we're going to be good students. It should at least, ding, ding, a little bell go off in our head. Wait a minute. Here's the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom instruction. Okay, well, I don't want to be a fool. Like, even if we're just grazing this material here, the Word of God, we should say, huh, well, that's important. Check that. Hey, honey, write that down. Fear of the Lord. Let's figure out what that is, because that's probably important. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, if he's telling us that the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of the Lord, we should listen to that guy. Have you guys, you don't have to raise your hands on this one. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but have you ever had the conversation with the guy that did it and did it well, and he told you, and you're like, I'm not listening to him. Right? And we're stubborn and we're pigheaded and we do it our way and we get done and we're like, oh, how come mine didn't turn out like his? Really? I'm raising my hand. I told you not to raise yours, but like, Solomon's done it. He's walked through. He's the wisest man on earth, right? He's lived this out, and he's telling us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And fools despise wisdom and instruction. All right, here we go. About 4 or 5 verses. Job 28:28 says this. And this is what he says to all humanity. This is what the Lord says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. And to forsake evil is real understanding. This is what he says to all humanity. True wisdom. See, what part of the problem, and I struggled with, I love Proverbs, and I got that from my dad, and I love reading Proverbs, and I read it all the time. And I would always struggle with the fear of the Lord and wisdom. I'm like, how do you get, why? Like, right? If you don't get it, you don't get it. And I would always struggle with this thought, and I've only very recently started to have some understanding on this. It's because we misdefine wisdom. And that the fear of the Lord didn't seem to fit in what I thought wisdom was. And Solomon, imagine that. He was smarter than me. Just imagine that. He was wiser than I was. He said the fear of the Lord is true, or Job is saying this, but the Lord is telling us that the fear of the Lord is true wisdom. All right, let's go to something that Solomon did write, Ecclesiastes. Now that all has been heard, here's the final conclusion. All right, here's the end of it all. You ever hear probably most of my stories, you're saying this. Can you just get to the end, wrap it up? Like, what do I need to know out of this? What's the Cliff Notes version? Right? Here's what Solomon's saying. Now that all has been heard, all right, here, let's get to the point. Here's the final conclusion. Here's your walk away. Here's your takeaway. Grab this little nugget here, because we're going to sum it all up. Fear God and obey his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is Solomon. He's writing on in the later part of his life in Ecclesiastes. We're going to look at Solomon's dad, David. Psalm 111 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wait a minute, that seems like there's maybe a theme here. Do we see that we're seeing the same thing across multiple scriptures? It's not just all in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it, practice what? Practice the fear of the Lord. Have a good understanding. And just because it's Psalms, you got to throw in his praise and his praise. Like, you can only go so many verses before you want to just praise the Lord in Psalms, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now let's go back to Proverbs one last time here, or in this section. Proverbs 9:10. This is Solomon again. He told us that the fear of the Lord was the beginning of understanding. Now Solomon in chapter 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. They keep saying it's the beginning. It's the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's our starting point. And it doesn't mean that, so like, if we're going to say, we're going to go to Rosalt. Okay, we'll begin trip, right? The beginning. The beginning of our trip to Rosalt is getting on Highway County 34 or Whipple Road, or whatever it is out here, and then going up to the roundabout and then whatever. So we would leave the beginning. That's not what they're saying in all of these verses. It's not that kind of a beginning. What they mean is it's the only place to start, and it's the guiding principle that keeps you walking in wisdom the entire time. Is as long as we're beginning with the fear of the Lord, we walk in wisdom. So if we start to walk in wisdom on Thursday, you know, on Monday, and by Thursday, we're like, all right, I've got wisdom. Now, I mean, we wouldn't do that, but like by Thursday, we figure out we're pretty wise. And we kind of leave the fear of the Lord. We leave that position of our heart. Then we're not beginning with that. It's not foundational. We haven't, like, we missed it. We have to start again. And we have to get our hearts to a place where we're walking in the fear of God. We're walking in the fear of the Lord. So it's the beginning, but it's also it's the main and underlying principle. So I know that's a little, you know, what? It's what roots and grounds wisdom. It's what gives us access to true wisdom. All right? So Jerry Bridges in his book, Joy in the Fear of the Lord, I think is what it's called. I didn't write it on there. But what is the fear of the Lord? It is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law. And Adam Clark says, the fear of the Lord signifies reverence, which every intelligent being owes to its creator. It's this realization of who God is. And the appropriate response of our heart to that. Because we can realize who God is and have disregard for that. And that, so that would be, half of it is recognizing who God is. Half of it is our response to that. But it's this glimpse in creation, in nature, in humanity, in design, in intelligence, in the scripture. This revealing of this omnipotent, all-knowing, all-seeing, benevolent, magnanimous, powerful, wise, supreme creator of all things, and knowing what our heart's response should be to that. That's why I love which every intelligent being owes. And that's not kind of what, it's not what he's not meaning like smart, he's meaning like capability, but kind of tongue-in-cheek. As you, well, you'd be smart if, you'd be intelligent if you would recognize what you owe to your creator and fear him. So we see the fear of the Lord. There, I mean, there's just dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of verses on the fear of the Lord. And in Acts chapter 9, that talks about they all lived in the fear of the Lord and the church grew, right? There was this awe, this sense of his powerful presence, of who he is, not just the sugar daddy, right? Not just the Santa Claus, not just the he's my buddy, not just all of that stuff, but who God really is as supreme creator. He's the final authority. Well, what if I don't think God? It doesn't matter. You can have your opinion, but he's God, right? It's this sense of awesomeness, of holiness, of power, of majesty. And I just, you find that you run out of human words so quickly. At least people like me do. There's been some amazing writers that you know, I couldn't even get in the foreword of their books, but they're just, of talking about the glory of the unapproachable God, the God of Israel that came and said, you know, imagine the width and breadth of the universe, and he came and settled in upon a mountain, you know, a fiery mountain, smoke, and, you know, anything that touched that mountain died. It ceased to exist, died. Like that powerful of a God in the fear of the Lord. So Stephen and I, we always talk about tension in scripture. Things are held in tension. You know, God's sovereignty and man's free will. Like tension, you know, depending on where you fall on that scale, you'd have all kinds of fun arguments, you know, and beat people over the head and get in fist fights and whatever. There's lots and lots of those kind of things in scripture. And so one of the things that our mind wants to jump to right away with the fear of the Lord is here's what we think. We think this. We think that if I'm afraid of God, if I fear God, if I like fear of the Lord means like I can't approach him. Like I'm far from him. Like I can't be close to him. And that's, I think that's a, like, I think the people that get the fear of the Lord right often end up sliding into that belief like, he's God. I can't even, you know, I can't even look sideways at him. And I just want to say without Jesus, that's true. But we think that the fear of the Lord is equal to me being distanced from God. I want to say that's not true. The fear of the Lord is this. It's awe and wonder and reverence and respect. And a number of preachers say that it doesn't mean being afraid. What do I know? But from the scripture, I see, no, that's not true. It does actually mean, it's part of it that means being afraid. I know you don't believe me. Here, let's look at Matthew 10. Don't fear those. This is a guy, let's see, what was his name? Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's right. You know, he would be an authority on this. Don't fear those who kill the body and can't kill the soul. Rather, Jesus is telling us, fear him. A lot of versions say, be afraid of him. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. There's a real hell, and there's a real judgment that's coming. There's a real, man, this is the words of God here. Fear him. So there's part of it that means being afraid. It's not just being afraid, though. That's not really what that fear of God is. It's this awe and wonder and reverence and respect and recognition of who he is. So there's that aspect of it. And here's what this also means. Grace and mercy also means that I can draw close. I can draw near. Because of the grace of God, I can approach with confidence the throne of grace, Hebrews 12, Hebrews somewhere. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. I can come with assurance before God. I can know that I can approach him. I can draw near to him. I can experience his love. I can experience his forgiveness. I can experience his life flowing through me. And the people that get that right can often slide into the other side where God's my good buddy and you should hang out with us. And that's where it stops. Because I believe that. I believe in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and enjoying that. But that's as far as they ever get. And it can get really disrespectful at times. And I'm not trying to put... My point here is not to criticize. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help us to have a balanced scriptural approach to grace and the fear of God. We're commanded to walk in the fear of the Lord, and we're invited, even more than commanded, we're invited to the blessing that that brings. Walking in the fear of the Lord brings a blessing. Walking in that awesome reverence and recognition of God's power brings life and freedom and prosperity of soul, and it moves us in the right direction. And grace and the mercy of God, a great revelation of that, keeps us from just being afraid of God all the time. Oh, the man upstairs, he might strike me down, right? We've got this freedom to approach God because of the grace of Jesus. We can draw near. It's nothing we've done. It's what he's done. We say yes. We surrender our hearts. We come close to God. He speaks to us as a friend. You know, like there's like both of those things are in there and they're intention. They seem like they're opposites. Well, if this one's true, that one can't be true. And it feels like that. That's why it's like God's more complex than we admit, right? Like we're getting this glimpse and we're trying to explain him on human terms and he's trying to interact with us, but he's so much infinitely greater than us. We do the best we can in trying to understand our relationship with him. So we don't want to lose the fear of the Lord for grace, and we don't want to lose grace and mercy for the fear of the Lord. They're both intention, and that's good. Okay. All right, we got through that tangled mess. You ever feel like, ever been upstairs in a barn walking through spider webs? Stuff of my nightmares, yes. All right. Let's move on. Any area of my life and your life that is not drenched in the awe of God, the fear of the Lord, becomes an area where sin and self can flourish. And we're not talking about addictions. I'm not talking about cycles and curses and you know, I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about volitional, just like normal flesh, right? Just, okay, not where we're stuck in something beyond our control. I'm talking about just normal life here. But any area of our life that's not soaked in the awesomeness of, like, this revelation of the awe of God, it becomes an area that's open and fertile ground for sin and for self. Self-fulfillment, self-promotion, self-realization in that. When the fear of the Lord fills those areas, then they're open to the guidance of wisdom. Listen, I cannot walk in the guidance and influence of sin and self and walk in the guidance of wisdom. Hey, track with me. Everyone, wake up. Give me your eyeballs for 1 second here. Let me see your eyes. Okay. I cannot walk in sin and self, walking fluently and thriving in that kind of environment, and walk in wisdom. I can't do that. So any area of my life that I'm not experiencing the awe of God in, the fear of the Lord, I'm excited to be here, but I'm shaking a little bit, like the awesomeness of his presence in, then that's an area that's open for sin and self to lead. And I want to walk in wisdom in that area. So I need to open that area of my life up to the awe of God. That sounds great on paper. You're like, what? Okay, what are you really talking about? Okay, let's look at this. The fear of the Lord and wisdom. See, we agree, like on paper, like if I just took a poll, you guys would all be like, yep, fear of the Lord's good. Yep, I'm going to check the yes box, right? 100% or 99%, yep. You got one of you that didn't understand the question. You checked no, but, oh, I didn't know that's what it meant. Okay, fear of the Lord's good. We're all like, yep, we all agree. And have you experienced the fear of the Lord? I think most of you would be like, yep, oh, yeah. I mean, just, like, he's awesome. Like, he's, whoa, like, wow, he's God. But then it comes to our lives, and there's expressions, parts, compartments, you know, areas of our life, and it's like, the awe of God does not invade those parts of our life. For instance, I can sit in church and I can agree and I could pass a lie detector test. Man, I agree that God is awesome, and man, without Jesus, he's unapproachable and he's fearsome and we should fear the Lord. And then I'll start, when I walk out of church, I'll go to the grocery store and I'll get $50 worth of groceries. And the clerk that just started rings it up and it comes to $18. And I walk away and I go, well, Lord bless me today, right? Like the fear of the Lord, like honest scales and balances, it talks about in Proverbs. I will all of a sudden feel like I'm owed this, so whatever it is. I'll decide that I can cheat on my taxes. I'll decide that, like, the fear of the Lord, you know, well, someone else will tithe, so I don't need to. Like, we don't realize that wisdom has a plan for every area of our life. Wisdom has a plan for every area of our life. So whatever area of my life that I'm not experiencing the reverence of God in, I'm disqualified for walking in wisdom in that area. So in my finances, what does it tell me? You don't have to go very far in Proverbs where you start seeing, man, set aside, you know, your tithes and offerings, you know, the first fruits. It talks about all over the place. It talks about those who, you know, an inheritance gained quickly at the beginning fades quickly, but the one who gathers money little by little causes it to grow, right? And there's all these financial principles that you see, and you see the wisdom of that. And you're like, wow, God, you care about even like that part of my life. We see it in areas of sexuality. Well, I love God and I know God's good and I even think he's awesome and amazing. But, well, this part of my life, my sexuality, you know, we don't want to buy into the awe of God when it says that he created them male and female. and that God's the one that assigns that. And God assigns sexuality to between one man and one woman in the confines of marriage. But listen, I respect and love God, but just not in this area of my life. Read some great books on a couple different guys that have come out of the homosexual lifestyle. One of them was David Bennett, who is a Christ follower, and both of them are Christ followers now, and they just talked about their journey coming out of that. And that was kind of both of their stories. They talked about how that was an area of their life that they weren't willing to yield and didn't recognize the awe of God in that area. Well, God's over here, but this is who I, you know, like this area is separate. It's who I am. I don't recognize the awesomeness of God. What about power and authority? Like, you know, like you all have power and authority over someone, a little brother or sister, you know, you might be a boss or teacher or manager. You might, like, somewhere in your life, you're going to have, like, how do you use that power and authority? Recognizing the awe of God in that, you see that, you know, the centurion told Jesus, I myself am a man under authority. We see that authority is given by God, and we see that we can do that in wisdom. And we can just go on and on and on and on and on. How do I do relationships? Well, how do I do my work? Do I do that with integrity or whatever? Wisdom, listen, bring it back. Wisdom has a plan for every part of your life. And so then, any area that I don't give awe to God in, whatever area that I try to pull back and say, no, I'm going to do my own thing in this, like, then you are disqualified. You have intentionally disqualified yourself for wisdom in that area of your life. And you can pray, and God, just because he's so gracious, may help some, but you don't get to fully walk in the wisdom of God. You don't get that 2020 vision on the back end, on the front end, because you're deciding that you're not going to recognize the awe of God, and what, because he might tell me something I don't want to hear in that area of my life. And yet wisdom wants to give you guidance through all of these areas of your life. If we yield to the awe of God, we say, God, you are sovereign. You are the one who made it all. And I want to recognize you in each of these areas of my life so that I can thrive in the wisdom of God. Wisdom based on the fear of God, that's exactly what I was just saying, recognizes the supremacy of God over every area of life. And it realizes that God, it's God who sends poverty and wealth, who humbles and exalts. And in this wisdom rests, and it rejoices in the fear of God. A couple more verses here. This is in Psalms again. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you. Oh, so this is something we can learn. Look at your neighbor, say, you can learn. You can learn. Yeah, you can learn. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Yeah, we've read this verse just a few weeks ago here. I sign me up. Then keep your tongue from speaking evil. Shh. Keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Going back to Proverbs again. I love this verse. This one stopped me in my tracks when I first got saved, you know, whatever, decades ago. I, wisdom, dwelt in... So wisdom's talking here. This is wisdom talking. So who's talking? Wisdom. I mean, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of wisdom, but it's God. But it's... I, wisdom... you'll see in the Psalms, we call it wisdom personified. Some versions might even have that tagline, but it's wisdom as a person, so that we can relate easier to some of these ideas. So I dwell together with prudence. Do you guys know what prudence is? It's like giving thought to your ways. Have you ever walk into a situation, you're like, oh, I didn't think that through. You didn't have prudence in that moment. You didn't think through your ways. So wisdom dwells together with prudence. Wisdom says, I possess knowledge and discretion. Now here's wisdom's next statement. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, right? Humility, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Man, watch your behavior. Watch the pride and arrogance in your heart. Pride is... I'm kind of reading up on how to spray paint things. I'm going to do some kind of restoration stuff. And one of the things they always talk about is degreasing. You got to get all the grease off there, or the paint won't stick. Get the pride out of your heart, or humility, or wisdom won't stick. Pride is like Teflon for wisdom. Wisdom wants to flow in your life, but pride and this arrogance, it disqualifies us. It won't work. It's oil and water. They won't mix together. That's what this quote says. Wisdom's not a badge of superiority to be worn with pride. When it's like, I'm so wise, I'm so smart. No, it's a blanket of security that humbles the heart. Like, wow, God, you are guiding me through all these areas of my life. And that makes me just all the more revere you and honor you and magnify your name. I'm going to skip a couple of these, but the next slide, thinking about just the engineering marvels. My son loves to know how things work. So he took his lawnmower that he got and switched out the pulleys on it. So now instead of doing 2.5 miles an hour, now it does like 22 and a half miles an hour and slides around corners and cut the mufflers off so it's got straight pipes and whatever. So the other day I come into the shop and there's bushings and bearings and stuff. I mean, there's stuff laid out everywhere. I'm like, I never told you this, but in my head, I'm like, oh, buddy, you just wrecked that. And I came back out there later. He had it all put back. And he just wasn't even fazed by it. Like, he remembers all of me. I'd be like going back through my phone, trying to see if I took a picture of it. But he loves to know how this stuff works. So now he decided it's still a little too high up because he may or may not have rolled it going around the corner. And it's on video, which I hope to get on Facebook. From his helmet cam, yep. So fortunately, he was wearing his helmet, which is wisdom, right? So he decided even though he already took the seat off and dropped it down, you know, a bunch of inches or whatever, it's still too high in the back. So he took the rear end off, the transmission, flipped that over, which you got to reroute all the gearing and shifting and all that kind of stuff. And now he's got this lowrider lawnmower. It is super cool. Yes, exactly. So, you know, on a lawnmower, you got the throttle up here or whatever. So he took the cable off that, took the old brake handle off a scooter that we had or something that was junked out, stuck that up through the floor and put a pipe on it or whatever. Now he's got a gas pedal. Nice. So talking about engineering and how things work, he's always talking about limitations and, you know, tolerances, and you can get away with this, but you can't. Once you cross this line, you can't, or whatever. Look at this engineered pump. What if you had to engineer a pump that would last for 75 years for 2,500,000,000 cycles that required no maintenance or lubrication, and the output varying between 0.25 horsepower and short bursts of 1 horsepower, the weight not exceeding 300 grams, 10 ounces, a capacity of pumping 2,000 gallons per day, and valves operating at 4,000 to 5,000 times per hour. What company do you think we could get to manufacture that pump? Yes, that is your heart. And it is phenomenal. That's what I'm saying about recognizing the awe of God in our brains, in humanity, in nature, seeing God and just yielding to that, going, all right, God, I want your wisdom. And in every area of my, I don't want to hold one area of my life back because I think I can run it better. Or you might tell me to do something I don't want to do. I want to flourish. Wisdom is flourishing. Wisdom brings prosperity. Wisdom brings, it's an oiling of the gears. Wisdom helps you to avoid pitfalls. Wisdom is this flourishing of your life. Okay, let's finish up with a couple verses. Let's see, I'm going to skip through here and that. Let's go to this one. Two verses and we're done. Humility. Say humility. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Wait a minute. We talked about humility last time. We're talking about fear of the Lord. Oh yeah, they're really connected. Humble hearts. That's fearing God. And its wages are riches, honor, and life. One more. Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. That's our entry point, guys. That's where you got to keep your heart in this awesomeness, this reverence, this recognition. And that means when I recognize how awesome is God, and I see part of my life that doesn't line up with what he's told me, who gets to change, him or me? I get then invited into letting wisdom take control of that part of my life. Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. My prayer for us, and I just, for the last number of weeks, I've spent moments at that altar with my own heart, saying, God, you've got to break this and that in my life, and God, I repent for this. And God, like, I want my own heart to walk in humility. I want to fear the Lord, not just in part of my life, not just on Sunday mornings, not just in the church part of my life. I want to walk in Acts chapter 9, to walk in the fear of the Lord. In my prayer, as I walk through this place almost every day of the week, praying over you guys by name, every single one of you guys, that's part of my prayer, is God, that we would walk in humility and in recognizing the fear of the Lord, that this would be a church that walks in wisdom, that captures the heart of God, that walks in the power of God, that sees freedom in our lives, that our hearts long for Him and long to know Him more and to see people invited into that presence. God, may every area of my life line up. May the fear of the Lord grip my heart and soul in the totality of my life, not just in one part, not just in two parts, not just this area and that area. I fear the Lord in that area, but this is my life. Man, I don't want to walk like that. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. I want to walk in the prosperity of soul that God has for us. I want to walk in wisdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless these people. Thank you for entrance into wisdom. Thank you for that. The foundational principle is the fear of the Lord. God, I just pray that you'd show each and every one of us, start with me, show us any areas of our life that we've maybe excluded from the fear of the Lord, any area of our life that we're not sensing the awe of God in, any area of our life that just feels human. It's just our life. Help us to sense the awesomeness of God in that part of our life as well. Bring them into alignment so that we can walk in wisdom. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Blessings, guys. Have a great week.